Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live with Ann Bushman and Chris Carlson on this beautiful Saturday morning here in Utah. The sun's coming out, my chickens are sunbathing, and we're talking about the wonderful news all around the world about how wonderful things are developing, especially in developed countries like the United States of America. And something is happening in the state of Florida, Sam, that deserves taking a look at. Ron DeSantis took a little trip over to Israel to sign legislation known as HB 269, which basically is nicknamed the anti-Semitism bill in the state of Florida. And he thought it was so important of legislation, he took a trip over to a foreign country to sign it, to show the people in the wonderful state of Israel that he is on their side. Now, here's the problem. We know that this bill technically applies to all discrimination, no matter what religious affiliation you choose to be of. Why did he choose to go over to the state of Israel to sign it, is my question. There are like, 196 countries he could have signed this bill in, including the United States of America, including the people who he represents in the state of Florida.
Let's make things clear. What body does this bill relate to?
What body? Yeah. I'm not sure what the question is, Sam.
Well, bills are passed by certain groups. If Sam Bushman passes a bill, it means nothing. Okay, there's a body. Every bill relates to some organization, sir. Is it a Florida bill? Is it a United States bill? Is it an Israel bill?
It's a Florida. It's a state of one of the states in the United States Union.
So why on earth are we talking about a Florida bill being signed in the great state of Israel? There's only one reason that I think this could be happening, and I'm highlighting this on purpose. I don't mean to be difficult, Chris, but I'm trying to get people to understand. Whenever there's something of origin, you got to say, what's its origin? What's its roots? What's its jurisdiction? The jurisdiction of this bill is only Florida, all right? It isn't the United States at all,
yes.
And it certainly is not international. But if you're going to run for president, just like becoming a member of Congress, you have got to pay homage to Israel. And Ron DeSantis is about to announce his presidency move, or his bid to be president of the United States of America. And if he's going to have any backing, any funding, any support at all, he better pay homage and bow to Israel first, sir. That's what this is about.
Yes. And the little, and even Joel Skousen missed this point, and I wish I could be more specific, but while he was in Israel signing this bill that applies to the good people of the state of Florida, guess who he visited with? You know who Sheldon Adelson is?
Yes, he's a big financier that supposedly finances conservative people. He's a multi-billionaire out of Vegas.
Yeah, he had a big casino down there. And he used to donate tens of millions of dollars to, for the most part, Republican candidates. Well, he's deceased, but his wife is still alive. And while Ron DeSantis was in the nation of Israel, he paid a visit to her and somebody else. And I apologize for not remembering the name of this other individual about potential campaign donations if and when he will run for the presidency. So maybe that trip to Israel wasn't just about signing a bill that protects Jewish people from persecution, Sam. Maybe there was another alternative or ulterior motive agenda afoot over there.
And that's what I believe, because we've documented on this program many times, Cynthia McKinney and others have highlighted this. You have got to pay homage to Israel or you're done. Haven't we highlighted this reality check? So when he's gearing up to run for president, he better pay homage to that or he ain't going to get anywhere. He's not going to get any funding. He's not going to get any, quote, media protection. Because, you know who owns it all, right, buddy?
Well, I mean, is lopsided as it seems, the state of Israel has more influence over Washington, D.C. than the entire population of the United States. And I'm not talking about the people, the rank and file Jewish people that live in Israel. I'm talking about the Benjamin Netanyahu's and, you know, the rest of those thugs. They influence, have more influence in the United States than the people here in the United States, Sam.
Yeah, we're really talking about the criminal government cabal pretending they're the state of Israel, biblically speaking, when they are not.
Mm-hmm. They are not. And a lot of Christians get caught up in this thing, oh, it's the covenant people. You know, we need to pay homage to them. We need to genuflect, you know, to their, you know, we're their biggest allies, and they're our biggest ally. Well, we pointed out a few weeks back, Sam, if you'll recall, that the benefit of being the ally of Israel only goes one direction, and it doesn't come our direction. It only benefits Israel. We give literally somewhere between, and this was back 10 years ago, somewhere between $15 and $25 billion in aid to the state of Israel. But there's no benefit that comes back to the United States. That's the problem. So speaking about this bill, Joel Skousen says, what is the governor of Florida doing traveling to Israel to sign into a Florida hate speech bill that does much more than just pander to anti-Semitism? Any type of, quote, hate speech, unquote, bill, no matter how carefully written, treads dangerously on the First Amendment, and DeSantis should know that. And then he goes on to quote a Breitbart News article.
All right, $3.8 billion was in 2020, sir.
Yeah, but you know what? That doesn't account. See, they hide those the real aid package, $3.2 billion. That's only on the surface. You know, we give them military
aid.
Yeah,
they budgeted $38 billion for foreign aid spending.
Yeah. Wait. Did you say 38 or 3.8?
Well, they say 3.8 went to Israel. $38 billion is what we allocate yearly for foreign aid kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then you got to say, now, hold on. Let me educate you for a second. That's foreign aid, right? How much military aid do they give? You see, because the two aren't the same.
In-kind payments, like the
And then they have another term called foreign assistance, Chris, that they have also. So now you got to say foreign aid, military aid, and, quote, foreign assistance, right? So what I mean by that is we don't even have any ability to know the number, because all they got to do is create another category, and until you discover that category, you don't even know.
Exactly.
Afghanistan and Israel are the largest two recipients of foreign aid. Israel has received the most of any single country since World War II, totaling approximately $243.9 billion.
Yeah, and that's just scratching the surface, like you pointed out. Now, Jim Trafficant was a representative from the state of Ohio. And like I say, this is about 15 years ago that he made this statement. I don't have the quote right in front of me. He said it's more like 15 to 25 billion. And that was 15 years ago, Sam. So you know that that's more like 30 to 40 billion today. Yeah, they're getting a lot of benefits from the United States.
And the term they use for that, just so you know, is adjusted for inflation, Chris.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they can always use that alibi.
Anyway, the shame on Ron DeSantis, ladies and gentlemen. His true colors are starting to, well, I guess you can't hide your spots, Chris.
No, and he's showing us. But here's the problem. I have members of my family that would defend Ron DeSantis. In fact, they would applaud him. They would say, good for him. We need to protect God's chosen people, God's covenant people, not realizing that Christians actually are God's covenant people. They literally entered into a covenant with God when they entered the waters of baptism and promised to serve the King of Kings, who is the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. We are the covenant people, yet we look at these other people who have not entered into the covenant as the covenant people. Could we be
Around the Jewish people, even if you can say God's protection around the Jewish people, and I believe God's protection is on all peoples and all races, and he does have a very merciful arm, and he does reach out and give second and third and many chances to many people, and he does reach out and recover his people and restore his people. That's all true, but that doesn't mean that the evil governments as imposters can exert themselves and take that claim, Chris.
Yeah. It's a conflict of interest. So obviously you and I, Sam, believe that there should be no foreign aid. We shouldn't give the American taxpayers hard work money to anybody but the American people, and only according to constitutional restrictions, Article 1, Section 8 specifically. You know, to give money away is a huge conflict of interest, and it's a slap in the face of the American people who worked hard to earn that money. If you want to
give
money,
give that
great.
Money away.
Write a check.
They
out.
Give that money away without authority, Chris, is the problem. There's no authority provided to do that whatsoever. Remember, government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. There is no consent. There is no legal precedent or support. There is no
right.
authority whatsoever granted, Chris.
Exactly. No, according to the 10th Amendment, which has been ignored for the last 50 years, as you and I both know, you know, to our detriment. But getting into some of the details of the bill, it's called HB 269. And according to Breitbart News, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis flew to a foreign country on Thursday to sign an anti-hate speech law that makes speech deemed, quote, harassment or, quote, intimidation, unquote, a felony punishable by 5 years in prison. So you could be walking around Miami, Florida with a hat, a MAGA hat, for example, Sam, and that could be considered, quote, harassment, unquote, to people that don't like Donald Trump. You find yourself cooling your heels for the next 5 years in prison because you wore the wrong hat.
Especially if you try to make America great again, that means you're downing every other country but America, folks. You're discriminating against Israel, and you're going to jail. And you can say that's an extreme example. Sam, come on now. Stranger things have happened, and even if Ron has good intent, it's going to go wrong in the hands of the wrong leaders. We can promise you that. Hang tight. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, my sheep follow me, unquote, and, quote, you do not believe because you are not my sheep, unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman talking about Ron DeSantis. Shame on Ron. Ron DeSantis literally panders to anti-Semitism. WorldAffairsBrief.com, Joel Skousen and crew have the details. And bottom line is Ron went to Israel to sign this bill that's a Florida bill. Jurisdictionally, what the heck are you thinking? You're going to sign your state's bills in Florida on a foreign soil in Israel? Pandering. This is a chilling of speech. Now, you could say it's hate speech, but that's really the crux of the problem, Chris. There's no such thing as hate speech. There's only free speech. And you can start to play games with free speech and say, well, we don't like this speech and we don't like that speech. One's hate speech, one's unfair speech, one's... You can create all these words that create lists and put people in enemy camps and divide and conquer and destroy your rights. But what does hate speech mean is the problem. Who determines the definition of and or the application of or the prosecution relating to, quote, hate speech? That's a special kind of speech, don't you know? It's the opposite of love speech. So if I come to you and say, hey, lesbian or bisexual, transgender or murderer or abortionist or whoever, you know, I think what you're doing is a sin against God. Is that hate speech? Oh, yes, sir, it is. See, and the problem is who administers the definitions and then the parameters around prosecution or persecution in this case. This hate speech idea, Ron is falling down this trap where he thinks he's doing well. He thinks he's going, hey, let's protect the Jews. Let's stand up for the biblical Israel. Let's go ahead and let people know that hate speech is not okay. See, on the surface, that sounds all awesome. But the devil is in the details, and the reality is in the controllers at the helm at the time. So even if Ron means well, when you get an extreme, say, Ocasio-Cortez or somebody else running the state, a Maxine Waters, a Nancy Pelosi, a who knows who, Hillary Clinton or whatever, this is going to run off the rails in terms of what you're allowed to say and not say, because how broadened will that definition be? And then you rely on the robed thugs at the courts to determine, quote, case precedent and everything else, to the point where it won't be as egregious as we're saying this very second on passage. It'll be defended as a stand for liberty. But in time, you give them an inch, they take a mile. In time, the devil will be in the details, Chris.
Yeah, so what is worse, if somebody shoots you and takes your stuff because they want your stuff, or they shoot you because they hate you? Either way, you're shot, you know, and whether you're dead or not, to me, it makes no difference. They're both hate speech crimes, as far as I'm concerned, because if you hate your neighbor so much that you don't care about his property rights, or if you hate him because of the color of his skin or his religion, you name it. All crime is hate crime, is the point I'm trying to make.
Yes, and here's the thing that we need to understand, though. We need to understand the difference between conscience, emotions, beliefs, and actions. Okay, I can have a belief that you disagree with, and you can say my belief is absolutely heinous, that it's wrong, that it's bad, that it's evil. You can think whatever you want about my belief or my expressing of an emotion. But until I act, I've done nothing wrong. Okay, and the problem with this is it crosses the line between action and, quote, thought police or thought control and, quote, intent of action. All right? So the description that I would use to highlight the point is, you know what? We should hate the sin but love the sinner. Okay? So if somebody practices homosexual behavior, I hate that because I believe it's a sin. That doesn't mean that I hate the sinner. I can love the sinner. I can believe that what they are doing is wrong, but I can still be kind and gentle and respectful, treating them as a son or daughter of God Almighty. And I can still, so we need to understand there's a difference between actions and thoughts or beliefs or opinions or conscience. And this crosses the line. And sadly, Ron doesn't know better, or he doesn't care. I don't know which, Chris.
I think he's just so much in love with popularity and political power that he doesn't care. And he knows what side of his toast the butter goes on, as the expression goes. And I just think he's just too ambitious, just like Joel Skousen has stated in previous briefs. He is too ambitious, as well as his wife. And most politicians will do just about anything it takes to get elected. And I think that's what he's doing. But going back to your point about, you know, you should never prosecute thoughts. And that's what Joel Skousen says. He says, generally, only actions should be prosecuted, never thought. The problem with prosecuting thoughts is, do you know anybody in this world that can read a person's mind, Sam? I don't.
Well, and even if you read somebody's mind, just because they have a thought, that doesn't mean that they really have that intent or would take that action. For example, if somebody harms you or somebody wrongs you, you think in your mind, you know what, I could kill you for that. Man, I should kill you for that, you kind of think. Now, I'm not saying that's a great thought. I'm just saying that doesn't mean that somebody would actually really, when you ask them, are you serious? Of course not. I'm just frustrated. But that's a thought.
Right. No, good point.
Thoughts come in your mind. It can come in your mind from all kinds of sources. You walk down the street in Vegas and you see a woman naked. If you're a man, your thoughts go wrong until you correct them and go, whoa, hold on. you can't control your thoughts without time to register those thoughts and make decisions. Okay, this is the difference. Actions,
good
decisions,
point.
Okay, intention, and all that precedes action. Okay, I would never kill someone unless it was in self-defense and I had no choice or in war or something. Okay, but this is what I mean. But, you know, somebody says, I should kill you for that. Are they really serious? Of course not. They're just going, I can't believe you did that. What the heck are you? Hold on. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. That's all they're really saying, right? And I'm not defending that statement or defending statements like that. I'm making a point that there's a huge difference. It's why on the radio they say Sam's inciting violence. What does inciting violence mean? If I'm not blatantly calling for violence, how am I inciting violence? Or Donald Trump, he said, go to the Capitol, peacefully protest. We've got to look into this election fraud stuff. So people go to the, you know, Capitol peacefully. Government provocateurs go violent. Did Donald incite that violence? Now you got to determine the thoughts in his mind and the intents of his heart. And how does that translate to actions? See, that's why this line is so important about protecting your right of conscience and your right of thought and your right of emotions versus the actions that you take. If you kill, I don't care if you hated the person or loved the person. You might kill somebody out of love or over love, right? You might, the abortionists want to kill the pro-lifers because they're like, hey, why would you stop a woman from doing what she wants to with her body? See, they would say that's out of love. That was a love killing in their case, see? What I mean is you cannot, all that is a supposition, a prescribing of thoughts and emotions and beliefs to an action or suggesting that action will be the downstream from those things. We cannot supersede reality and pretend we know or pretend we can determine those things. It's a lie to do so, and it violates the right of conscience is the whole reason that I'm going off so hard on this. People have got to understand this, Chris.
They really do, but unfortunately they're not. And in fact, people in positions of authority like Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood in the state of Florida made this statement, and listen to how inflammatory this is and deceptive as well. He said, if you go on private property, which is what we're seeing, and drop off hateful literature. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm sure that in the state of Florida, there are already laws against going onto private property, but somehow he's conflating this new law as protecting private property rights. That has nothing to do with private property rights, yet he's deceiving the general public by making the statement that somehow HB 269 is protection of private property. He goes on to say,
well, hold on. Let's talk about the second part of that statement for a second, Chris. The second part of that statement is you go on to private property. There's already laws against doing that. And the prosecution, if warranted, is already there. But the next statement that he makes is interesting. What did he say? And do what?
And targeting someone for their religion, it is a felony.
No, but and do what, though? You go on private property and do what?
And drop off hateful literature.
Okay, stop. What is hateful literature? Is the Bible hateful literature? Okay, is what if I give you a pamphlet advocating for a certain candidate? Or what if I were to print out my website, callforcivility.com, and I dropped off the printout of callforcivility.com and the pledge I'm asking people to take? But what if the powers that be determine that as hate speech? Chris, how dare you try to force me, push me into accepting your, quote, creed or your pledge, right?
Yep. Anything, Sam, can be construed as hateful. You just have to offend one person. And that one person now has power over you to take you into court and to prosecute you. Yeah, this is an extremely slippery slope. And if he gets away with this, a lot of other states are probably going to follow suit is the problem, Sam.
Yeah, because he's taken the discussion and the leadership to this, sadly so, or lack of leadership, to the global stage now is what he's done. Quick pause, Liberty, Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. The White House calls it categorically false that border authorities are allowing or encouraging a mass release of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Migrants who do not have a lawful basis to remain will be quickly removed, just like 1.4 million migrants who were expelled last year alone.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre criticized a federal judge's ruling temporarily blocking the Biden administration's policy to release some migrants crossing the border. She said the DOJ will fight the ruling, and the administration is using every tool it has to deal with the surge of migrants in a humane and orderly way. A U.S. senator who was at the border when Title 42 expired is not happy with the president.
Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, called out the president for what's happening at the United States-Mexico border.
Come down here, President Biden. Stop hiding in the basement. Stop pretending this misery is not your fault. Stop it.
Cruz on the shoreline in Brownsville, Texas.
This is not humane. This is not compassionate. This is cruel.
I'm Lance Pry.
President Biden at this hour is delivering the commencement speech at Howard University. Historically black university is also where Vice President Harris attended. In a trial that drew national attention, Idaho mother Lori Vallow Daybell has been found guilty of killing her two kids, ages 7 and 16, and conspiring to kill her husband's first wife.
The Boise, Idaho jury was handed the so-called doomsday cult case one day before the verdict.
Is Lori Noreen Vallow not guilty or guilty of first-degree murder of Kylie Ryan? Answer, guilty.
Prosecutors say Vallow Daybell and her husband were obsessed with doomsday-focused religious beliefs. I'm Dave Collins.
The search for two missing hikers in Denali is being scaled back. It's determined both hikers likely died and were likely swept off a mountain by an avalanche. This is USA News.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to start getting conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live with Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson on this lovely Saturday morning here in Utah and wherever you may be in this great land of America. It's still free, but it's going to take a very lot of effort on our part and an uphill climb to restore some of the principles and some of the freedoms and liberties and a lot of the things that we've lost over the years. But let me continue with this statement on the part of Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood. And the last segment, we mentioned that he made the statement, if you go on private property, which I'm sure is already illegal in the state of Florida, Mr. Chitwood, which is what we're seeing, and drop off hateful literature targeting somebody for their religion, it is a felony. Is there really an issue with people doing that in the state of Florida, Sam? I would like to talk to the average citizen of the state of Florida and ask them if this is happening on a regular basis. I would bet that it's not. He goes on to say, if you get up in somebody's face with a bullhorn and start screaming anti-Semitic remarks to them, it's felony stalking. So we're really looking forward to this. And that's the end of that quote. I got a feeling, Sam, that if we went down to Florida and we just randomly interviewed people and said, is this stuff happening in the state of Florida? They would probably look at us weird. I doubt that this is a real problem. So we've got a solution, which is actually a problem in and of itself, to a problem that probably doesn't exist for the most part. In fact, if you wanted to know really if anti-Semitism is a problem in the state of Florida, you would probably want to ask
a member of the Jewish community. And they did.
I got to stop for a minute. I got to stop for a minute, though, and ask, what is anti-Semitism, Chris? What is that? No, listen. Yeah. Follow me. Well, what is it? You tell me what it is.
Brilliant. Well, it's persecution against Jewish people, for the most part, right?
Hey, hold on.
Anything?
So If I persecute someone because they're short, is that anti-Semitism?
Well, if that person is Jewish.
Well, hold on.
I mean, if they're Christian,
is it different?
Then you'd be
fine. Is it more egregious if they're Jewish than if they're not and they're short or tall? Right?
Well, we're talking about the Lord's covenant people here, Sam. You can't say that they're equal.
So let me ask you this. Hold on. If the Jews have a word, anti-Semitism, that's like anytime you're against a Jew, then you're anti-Semitic. What is it if you're against, say, blind people? What's it called?
Anti-blind people?
Okay.
You're right. There's no such term.
What about if I'm white or Christian or whatever other? You know, we're blurring cultural, we're blurring ethnicities, we're blurring race, we're blurring religion, we're blurring all this together, right? What is it if someone's against me because I'm short, because I'm blind, because I'm white? What are the words for those that are equivalent to an anti-Semite?
Well, they're not so common in the English lexicon, Sam, because
I've been persecuted because I'm short. I've been persecuted because I'm blind. I've been persecuted because I'm white. I've been persecuted because I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I've been persecuted for all those reasons.
Well, that doesn't count because you're not Jewish, Sam. Come on. Oh, get with the program, buddy.
Maybe I just ought to go ahead and convert, you know?
Well, yeah, you're not part of that privileged class. We have privileged classes in America. If you're homosexual, if you're Jewish, if your skin is dark, see, you don't qualify, buddy. You're barking up the wrong tree, as I say.
All right. Anyway, I just find that fascinating. This whole sheriff's idea, everything the sheriff's saying is nuts on braid, in my opinion here.
And I just want, so you know who Laura Loomer is, right? She's a journalist, and I think she lives down there in Florida. So she's Jewish. You would think that she would be all in favor of this, right? Not.
Of course not. She knows the truth.
Because she's a freedom-minded individual, and she knows that if it can be used to favor Jewish people, it can be used to favor anybody or disfavor anybody, Sam. So she goes on to say, HB 269 is one of the most draconian anti-free speech bills I have ever seen in my life. I have been reporting on this since it was first proposed. And when I did a video yesterday exposing how anti-free speech it is, the bill co-sponsor, and she gives the handle of the bill co-sponsor, blocked me on Twitter. So there you go. And she's Jewish. Can this... the bill sponsor, whose name is Randy Fine, can he be prosecuted under this provision? Theoretically, he should be, right?
Very serious questions.
How does that work, Sam? But he's Jewish and she's Jewish. How does that work? See how confusing it can get? Here, Joel Skousen says, these remarks are truly disturbing, talking about the quote that I just read from Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood. Joel Skousen says, these remarks are truly disturbing, and even though I'm sure DeSantis would disavow such prosecutorial intent, and I said, I'm not sure. I don't know why Joel Skousen would assume that DeSantis would disavow such prosecutorial intent. I mean, he should know better. He's a lawyer, right? Joel Kousen says he certainly should be aware of the dangers of messing with the First Amendment. Amen, brother. But no, he doesn't care about the First Amendment, Sam. He's a
politician. Right about that. And I agree with Joel Kousen. He would disavow it. And the reason he would is because they do know better. So they'll disavow it publicly, but yet they'll back it privately or back it inadvertently or whatever, like they're doing. And that's kind of the problem with this bill. You would think you'd listen to Laura Loomer. And Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman and Ron DeSantis would have talked to people like us before rolling out such a draconian signature on the global stage. What a disgrace that is. All right, Nick Giambruno is his name. And he writes an article called The Disturbing Truth About the Home You Think You Own, Chris.
Yeah, you don't, because you're paying rent every year. You pay your property tax. And if you don't believe me, try not paying your property tax for one year. Yeah, there's actually a woman who had her condo taken away in the state of it was Geraldine Tyler, a 94-year-old elderly woman living alone in Minnesota, lost her condo over unpaid property taxes. Oh, by the way, we should probably give credit. Oh, you did give credit. Well, this is from the International Man. So, yeah. So property taxes, you know, another way that the government can oppress us. And that oppression is on the state levels. And so it's not just the federal government that can oppress us, the state government, just like we learned with this HB 269 in the state of Florida. There can be just as much oppression, if not more, on the state level, Sam, as there is and could be on the federal level. So, yeah, this is an article by Nick Giambruno. He says that they argued. So in 2012, North Dakota had a referendum to become the first U.S. state to repeal the property tax. How do you think that went? Don't you think the people in the state of North Dakota would have thrown off the yoke of oppression of property taxes given the chance in a voter's referendum?
No. No, the people are socialists. Remember that, Chris. They don't understand.
That's right.
Let me tell you why they are. They believe that you got to have property tax, income tax, all these unconstitutional communist-style taxes. We've been trained for generations, and I mentioned this last hour, too. We've been educated in a government school system, along with the media, that make us believe the lie. Look, most folks are going, well, I got to pay my fair share, by golly. We can't get rid of that. And so they're deceived into these lies because they're not grounded in the truth. The truth is the proper role of limited constitutional government can be funded with apportionment taxes and excise taxes or tariffs at the border. And we wouldn't have to put these burdens on the backs of the American people. But see, most people don't understand how to reject communism. They don't understand what liberty is. They don't understand the proper role of government. They don't understand the real solutions to raising the legitimate revenue to fund the proper role of government. They don't understand any of those things, Chris. So they vote themselves right into socialism once again, if given the chance, almost every time.
Yeah, by a 78% margin, Sam. 78% of the people of the great state of North Dakota in 2012 voted property taxes back in to the powers that the federal government or the state government of North Dakota can exercise over them. And like you said, most people are suffering from Stockholm syndrome. And Giambruno, said most people thoughtlessly accept property taxes as a normal part of life, like gravity or the sun setting in the west. There's no way to pay off your property tax obligation in one fell swoop. It hangs over your head as long as you own property. And here's the problem. What if I wanted to go off the grid, Sam? What if I just wanted to be self-sustaining, you know, buy a farm out in the country, and I didn't want to go into town and buy anything because I decided that I, you know, want to just provide all of my own necessities, food, clothing, shelter, entertainment, you name it. I'm just going to be self-sustaining like the pioneers used to be. I can't because I have to pay property taxes. And that means
and you
I have to
use
make
the Federal Reserve notes and the monopoly of the government fake money system to do that. They've got you by the, I won't even go into it. Hang tight, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, and Seconds on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs. I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about private property. We're talking about the issues that we have with this idea that you think you own your home and you don't. We're also talking about property taxes and unconstitutional taxes. We're also talking about the fake money system and the Federal Reserve. The great late Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises puts it best when he said this: if history could teach us anything, it would be that, quote, private property is inextricably linked with civilization. In other words, you can't have a civilized society without private property, Chris.
No, you can't. Otherwise, you allow the government to become your parasite. And last time I checked, parasites were not things that you want parasitizing you, which stands to be, yeah. He says that's why the people who promote, implement, and benefit from property taxes are anti-civilization parasites, as you pointed out, as Ludwig von Mises pointed out. Yeah, we are not a free people, Sam. People think, you know, Joel Skousen feels the same way. You know, every 4th of July, everybody's waving their flag and, you know, tearfully expressing their gratitude for the fact that they live in a free country. We don't live in a free country. We live in a partially free country. It's the least worst option out of everything else in the world. But, you know, if we were truly free, we would have dust taxes that tax people proportional to, well, and then we get into the weeds when we talk about proportionality as well. But they're certainly not fair, because you cannot be independent. You can never be independent or break away from the matrix when there's a property tax, because you're always on the plantation.
Or an income tax, for that matter, either, because if the tax, the income side of your, you know, then you can't work or you can't have any prosperity without the government basically having preeminent or eminent domain over your income is kind of the problem about that. Now, the mainstream doesn't know this. At least they pretend they don't know this. What I mean by that is they always act ignorant, but they all know this. All right. On Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, one of these guys admitted the truth. They do know, Chris.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And how. Yeah, people don't realize. So I've known this for years. So this, I think this happened in 2008, where Milton Friedman, no, it wasn't Milton Friedman who made that statement. It was Bernanke.
Listen. On Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, Ben Bernanke, yes, the former chairman of the Fed, made this statement, Chris.
Okay, yes. Let me in. So Ben Bernanke gave a speech at Milton Friedman's 90th birthday. He said at that birthday celebration, "Let me end my talk by abusing slightly my status as an official representative of the Federal Reserve. I would like to say to Milton and Anna, his wife, regarding the Great Depression, you're right. We did it. We're very sorry, but thanks to you, we won't do it again." And I add to that, no, they're going to do it again, because they're doing it right now, Sam. They're doing the exact same thing that they did in 1929 to 1933 that caused the Great Depression and prolonged the Great Depression, they shrunk the money supply, and they're doing it right now. And we're going to talk about that.
They shrunk the money supply. They caused the Great Depression by contracting the money supply 33% between 1929 and 1933. Okay. And they're doing the very same thing now. But right this very second, they're expanding the money supply. But when they expand it, they eventually must contract it. Because if they don't, then inflation and stagflation start to take their evil toll. And so then they got to retract the money supply as well. And this boom and bust, this inserting and taking away or deleting money from the supply, is the manipulation that causes the greatest economic swings ever known to man, Chris.
Yeah, no, according to economists, the money supply is being contracted. That's why we've raised the interest rate 500 basis points.
That's right, but if they increase the debt ceiling, though, that's not contracting or reducing the money supply. That's increasing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, but it gets complicated. So I'll cede your point. But we know that recently Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic Bank, and just recently, about 2 weeks ago, Signature Bank failed. Now, why are they failing? And whether the money supply is contracting or expanding is somewhat irrelevant to what happened to these banks. What happened is inflation destroyed.
By the way, let's
net
be clear
worth,
before
Sam.
You go on to inflation. Let's be clear. It's expanding in the government, the banking realm, and it's contracting for the consumer. It is both happening at the same time. The debt ceiling proves it's increasing for the government and for the bankers. The retracting is when inflation's happened. It retracts it from you and I because our dollars spend less by nature. So it is actually doing both. It just depends on what reference point you relate to, Chris.
Good point. Yeah, you're right. Because it's when in the general economy, when it's contracting, that's when we have depressions and recessions, depending on how severe the recession is. So yeah, that's, we're experiencing that. And we don't, if there's one thing that we learn from history, Sam, is that we don't learn anything from history. Because most people are not familiar with that quote from Ben Bernanke that I just quoted, that I just read. But we are in a very perilous situation. Why do you think that those three banks, previous to that, the biggest bank failure was Washington Mutual. And now we have the second and third worst bank failures, all in
succession. Well, and in WaMu, it was in 08 is when it happened.
Washington Mutual, that was 08. Yeah, that was during that recession. And that was the biggest one in history. But these next two, and I think it was Silicon Valley and I think now, not Signature, but First Republic, are the second and third worst. You think it's going to stop at that, Sam? According to this article by Harold Vasquez, it's not. Okay, according to this article, and this was originally published in the London, not Guardian, the London, there's the major magazine there in London. What is it called? Anyway, I'll think of it in a second. The twin crashes in U.S. commercial real estate and the U.S. bond market have hit U.S. banking systems with $9 trillion of uninsured deposits. That's $9 trillion with a T, uninsured deposits. As soon as the depositors catch wind of the fact that $9 trillion, that's overall in the entire country, that their deposits are uninsured, Sam, that could precipitate bank runs like we had with Silicon Valley, with First Republic, and with Signature Bank. And if that triggers a chain reaction, the likes of which will be unprecedented. Forget about 1929 and the Great Depression. It'll be worse. With social media, you have to remember, in 1929, we didn't have social media. Now we do. They can literally trigger bank runs.
Hold on, Chris. We go back to this sphere of influence that I highlighted last hour. It used to be fairly teeny. Now people's sphere of influence is huge. So one person could say, I'm making a run on the bank today, and pretty soon millions will be doing the same thing because of one well-placed tweet or one well-placed whatever. Yeah. And the problem is the irresponsibility of people. But the problem is we put ourselves in these situations by these fake currencies, this over-leveraging in the first place. Look, they shouldn't be leveraging money like they do. They're all upside down, Chris.
They are. And a lot of people, listen, I'll give you an example of how ignorant the general public is. I talked to an individual a week ago this morning, and he had worked for Morgan Stanley for 40 years. I mean, he knows money matters inside and out. He knows the Fed, you know, he knows the all these exchange rates and all about money. I said, oh, how do you feel about the president's working group on financial markets? And he looked at me with a dead stare and he said, what is that? And I said, you don't know that there's a, it's colloquially called the plunge protection team. It is literally part of the president's administration that takes our tax dollars and props up the stock market during times of lowering stocks. And they can literally take our tax dollars and invest in whatever stocks they choose to. And this guy was a financial, so-called financial, he worked in the financial market. He had no idea that such an organization existed in our government. And he's supposed to know, you know, 10 times more than the average citizen. Anyway, so the article goes on to say that the FDIC only has $127 billion in assets. And a lot of people will cite the FDIC as the safety net that can be used in case of a bank run. The only problem is $127 billion doesn't add up to $9 trillion of uninsured deposits, Sam. They're not even close. I mean, what is that? If you did the math, it's like 1% maybe of the trillions of uninsured deposits that are just teetering on the edge of the cliff, ready to fall over. And this could cause a precipitous bank run throughout the entire nation. Forget about one or two banks. I mean, this could be
they're playing the confidence game. And if we lose confidence, it's over, people. It's a con.
Yep. It is a confidence game. And people need to understand that. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver, grain, anything of substance. It's backed by the fact that the American people are constantly told by the likes of Jamie Dimon and Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen that the system is fundamentally sound. It is not fundamentally sound. It is not backed up. It's like jumping off a cliff and saying, oh, well, this is backed up by a tiny little mosquito net. You know, that's what the $127 billion in assets constitutes in terms of a potential bank run. It's nothing. It's not going to stop the avalanche.
And the looming debt ceiling battle, ladies and gentlemen, is a farce. They're going to raise the debt ceiling. They're going to sell you down the river, and they're going to make the problem worse in the process.
Yep. And that's probably the last item we'll talk about. It is a farce. We talked about last week. They raised the debt ceiling 104 times. What makes you think that they're not going to raise it a 105th time? They always do. And they might hold out for a couple of weeks
in a clown show standoff, but they'll eventually cave, Chris.
Yeah, which will just make the Republicans look bad, which they should look bad. They're just as guilty as the Democrats. You know, people need to come to those grips. The Democrats love the charade because they come out smelling like a rose, and the Republicans look like the bad guys. But again, both parties should come out looking like the bad guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the final headline of the hour is this. When you go to Wendy's, or when Chris goes to Wendy's, ladies and gentlemen, your fast food order may be taken by an AI bot, not a real person going forward. Wendy's has a super trial program going to be rolled out next month to have an AI bot take your order. Would you like fries with that, Chris?
Well, you know, Sam, that's not going to change how many times I go to Wendy's, which is zero at this current time. So, and I'm sure it'll screw up my order. I mean, the humans screw up my order anyway. Why would the AI bot do the same thing, right?
All right, we're flat out of time. Wrap it up, Chris.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win, Sam. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's. but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
God save the Republic of the United States of America.